Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Please join with me. You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith.
Good morning. You'll have to excuse me. I've got a bit of a sore throat. But that's happened since I wrote the talk, so ironic. It's funny. Because last week, Caleb, my precious 5-year-old son, he had a bit of a tickle in his throat. He'd come out of his bedroom in the mornings and he'd do something like this. He'd I'm not exaggerating. Needless to say, it got on my nerves. Caleb, just call once, mate. If that doesn't help, have a drink of water. I did realise as I spoke to him that he couldn't really help, that his coughs weren't relieving the tickle. I didn't need to rouse on him, but it was irritating. Surely he didn't need to cough so many times. Couldn't he see it was annoying me? If you're at all like me, some little things can be irritating. Little things like the way somebody coughs, the way somebody sniffles. Little things that don't really matter. Little things that aren't sinful, just perhaps a little less than perfect. Little things that I do too. During this holiday series, we've been looking at what Jerry Bridges calls respectable sins in his book by the same name. Not the obvious sins of our culture, but the subtle sins of believers. He defines impatience as a strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. The way someone coughs, the way your wife is slow to be ready when you need to be somewhere, the way your husband always seems to plan things without communicating with you, the way your children make little mistakes over and over and over, the way your boss only seems to notice when you stuff up. Irritability, Jerry writes, is the frequency with which we become impatient. Everybody becomes impatient sometimes. But how easily do you become impatient? How small is the object of your annoyance? Is it just a cough? Now, of course, there's an inverse. Impatience and irritability, patience and, I think, self-control. You could probably also say patience and gentleness, or patience and kindness, depending on the situation. But repentance should mean turning away from impatience and irritability to instead be patient and self-controlled. But I hope you'll see this morning something more than that. First of all, I hope you'll see what it is inside of you, inside of me, the beliefs in our hearts that lie beneath our impatience and irritability. Secondly, I hope you'll also be reminded that there's something that needs to come first in repentance, in becoming patient and self-controlled. Something that we need to grow in if we're going to overcome sin. That is faith. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your patience with us. You've been patient with us humans from the very first sin, when the very first man and woman failed to trust you. You didn't give up on them. You gave them hope of a day when unfaithfulness would be crushed. A promise that you renewed with Abraham and have fulfilled in Jesus. And you're patient with us now, giving everyone the opportunity to put their faith in you and have new life. Please help us this morning to see how we begin life as followers of Jesus and how we can continue. Help us to grow in faith, that we would become like you, having patience and self-control. Amen. So, impatience and irritability, it's something that clearly I struggle with. I find it too easy to become frustrated and annoyed about silly little things. I've struggled with it, I think, a lot more recently. But I think in reality it's just one symptom of a more deeply rooted sin that I've struggled with ever since I put my faith in Jesus. You see, being impatient, becoming annoyed at little things that others do, exposes a hidden belief in my heart, a belief that I am more important than others, a belief that the behaviour and actions of others shouldn't impact me in a negative way, a belief that is pride. When I become annoyed at others for things that actually don't matter, I'm exposing the pride of my heart, showing people that I believe that I have more value than what they're giving me. How dare you cough in my presence? I deserve better than this. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's foolish. What we see of pride in the Bible is that it is clearly condemned. It's sin that prevents us from asking for the mercy we need from God. Jesus condemns pride himself in Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. Feel free to turn there. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus begins the story in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I might not get up on a podium in front of everyone like the Pharisee does, but I think sometimes deep in my heart I'd love to tell people how good I am, how valuable I am, if tall poppy syndrome wasn't so big in Australia. Dearest Caleb, would you really cough so obnoxiously in my presence? Do you not know that I am your father? I'm not like the other people. Car salesmen, real estate agents, telemarketers. or even the barista who made my coffee wrong. I work hard, 5 days a week, and I use a portion of that money to keep you alive. Of course, I don't think that when I'm becoming irritated, and I certainly wouldn't say it in front of everyone at the place where we gather to worship God. But when I analyze my behavior and thoughts, my reaction to little things that annoy me, I'm pretty close to being a Pharisee. Not only am I proud, considering myself greater than those around me, I'm a hypocrite. Oblivious to, or at least ignoring, my own sin. How can I be frustrated with my precious son for so small a thing when every day I have sin in my life, intentional faults and failures that I don't bother to properly address? If we're going to repent of impatience and irritability, we need to first give up on our pride and be made humble. Verse 13 and 14 from the parable. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. To repent from impatience and irritability, we first need to go back to where we started, asking for mercy, putting our faith in Jesus, because he has shown us not only mercy, but grace. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. God has shown us grace in Jesus. He gave up his life for us, that we would not be under the curse of sin. That's where we began. But I think it's important to make the point that the grace of God is not just how we become followers of Jesus. It'd be easy to finish here, to say, all right, there you have it, impatience and irritability, they grow from the pride of your heart. Humble yourself as you did when you put your trust in Jesus. Ask God for mercy. Done. Cool. Sweet. Saved. But I think many of us don't really know where to go from there, and we might be tempted to think like the Galatians did, to think, well, I've asked for forgiveness and I believe that I'm forgiven, but now I need to change and please God. I've got to follow the law, right? Like, that's what God originally asked for. Yeah, I'm saved by grace through faith. But to do what God wants, he gave us the law, right? That's how we do what he wants. But the truth is, the law didn't come first. It didn't come first in how we put our faith in Jesus, how we became followers of him. And it didn't come first in God's plan for salvation. Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 3, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? It's a rhetorical question. The answer's obvious. Anyone who calls himself a Christian cannot have become a follower of Jesus by works of the law. It's foolish. The very essence of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is that we believe and are grateful for the grace shown to us in Jesus, and that by this faith we receive his Spirit to help us to change and become like him. We don't need to meet the demands of the law because Jesus did that. And now he's making us righteous by his Spirit, the real agent of change. The good news of the gospel is not just the beginning of faith. It's not just the beginning of faith for us. It's always been the beginning of faith, the way to life in relationship with God. I think we can be tempted to think that the law came first before the gospel because of the history of Israel. Hundreds of years in the Old Testament of Israel failing to meet the law. So even though we came to follow Jesus because of the good news of his grace, we might be tempted to rely on the law as a way of now trying to please God. If this is how we think, we've forgotten or missed that the gospel came first. Paul explains in Galatians 3, 8 and 9, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And he says further in verse 17, what I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later doesn't set aside the covenant previously established by God and do away with the promise. The law, God's law, wasn't put into place until long after God had already promised blessing to all nations through the offspring of Abraham, Jesus. We see in verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We are made righteous by faith. Abraham, before the law, was made righteous by faith. Faith in the promises of God, faith in the goodness and greatness of God, that he will accomplish what he has set out to do. So, if we started new life as followers of Jesus by having faith, why would we try to continue life as a follower of Jesus by living according to the law? Paul says in verse 5, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? When it's put like that, it becomes clear how foolish it can be for us to think that we should try to live according to the law. The law has no power to make us righteous. And Paul makes it even more clear in verse 11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Because, and he quotes the Old Testament here, the righteous will live by faith. If we're saved by grace through faith, then we should also live by faith. Faith that makes us righteous. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you've seen dealing with impatience and irritability, dealing with pride, doesn't mean starting with the law. It's not something we need to try harder at. It's definitely a problem, it's definitely sin. But as Paul says in verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? We need to begin by the Spirit and finish in the same way. What's that look like? Verses 26 and 27 of Galatians 3. They give us a hint. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Continuing by the Spirit means clothing ourselves with Christ, becoming like Jesus by hearing and believing, having faith. Clothing ourselves with Christ means becoming like him in repenting of our sin and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, are love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, it's clear that we've been saved by faith and that we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit by continuing in faith, not by works. But what does that look like practically, specifically for patience and self-control? What might our lives look like in those examples of our impatience and irritability if we're truly clothing ourselves in Christ? I think it should be characterized by being a blessing to others, as Jesus has been, as was promised to Abraham, the gospel given in advance, all nations will be blessed through you. We can be a blessing to others by clothing ourselves in Christ, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. For patience and self-control specifically, I think Colossians 3:18 to 24 gives us a great picture of how we might begin to do that. Please turn there and have a look. And as we read it, Colossians 3:18 to 24, consider the ways that you have been impatient and irritable and what it looks like for you to repent. How can putting aside pride and being patient and self-controlled change how you live? Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. When your husband has made plans without checking with you first, when he seems to forget the basic facts of what's going on, put aside pride. Be patient and self-controlled. Love your husband. Put him first, just as Christ put us first, laying down his life for us. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. When your wife seems determined to have the house spotless before you leave, but you were due at your destination 20 minutes ago, put aside pride, be patient and self-controlled, love your wife and put her first as Christ put us first. Be helpful, not harsh. Children, obey your parents for in everything, for this pleases the Lord. When you ask if you can go to your friend's place, but your parents always seem to have a list of 15 chores for you to do first, put aside pride, be patient and self-controlled, obey your parents. It pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Do you need to pick them up on every little thing? On a cough? Even when it's little things that you've pulled them up on 1,000 times and they keep making the same mistake, put aside pride, be patient and self-controlled. Help your children to grow in love. Challenge their sin, encourage their hearts, encourage them towards Christ. Slaves, workers, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. When your boss only seems to notice when you stuff up, put aside pride, be patient and self-controlled. Keep working hard as though you're working for the Lord. Verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your love and patience with us. Thank you so much for your grace in Jesus, for salvation through faith, and for the Holy Spirit who guarantees our reward and helps us to grow in patience and self-control. Lord God, remind us often of your good gospel and help us not to get stuck in the curse of the law. We've been saved by grace through faith. Help us to continue in faith also. Amen.